Good evening, everyone. This is N210V with the shortwave and scanner listeners net. We'll stand by for any emergency or priority traffic before we continue this evening. Okay, nothing heard. Good evening, everyone. This is N210V. My name is Charles, and I'm located in Staten Island in New York City. I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave and scanner listeners net that's heard on this frequency every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. And the purpose of this net is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. We cover all the frequencies that you can tune into from DC through light and everything else in between except for amateur radio, because we can talk about that at any other time during the week. So if your hobby enjoyment is referenced around all sorts of utility bands and broadcasting stations and all the funny sounds you can hear all over the spectrum from DC through light and everything else in between, then this is the place to talk about it. And we also talk about what equipment you could use to tune it in, what peripherals, antennas, books, magazines, resources on the internet, and anything else that would fall in line with this. We have some basic ground rules for this net. One, this repeater is located in Midtown Manhattan, New York City, and to get into it, you need a positive shift in the PL tone of 107.2. If you are not able to get into the repeater, either because of distance or technical problems with your station, or you may not be a licensed amateur radio operator yet, the alternate means of contacting this net is by going through email. And the email address for this net is nyzxa@yahoo.com. And that's also the email address to use if you'd like to be put on our mailing list for any mass mailings that go out regarding the radio hobby, any hot news and frequency lists and things like that. For those who are checking in on the air, you're asked to give your call sign, your name, what town you're checking in from, and please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. By traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you would like to share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, and you're just along for the ride and listening to the net, as you're checking in, we ask that you say, no traffic. This way we know who to go to next on the list. Okay? So at this point, we'll stand by for the check-ins. Please space it out so people aren't stepping on each other, and we'll get everybody checked in. This is N210B.
N210B. This is KC2JRH, Anthony and Griffin, Witch Falcon.
K2UAJ, Lodi, New Jersey, no traffic.
WB2SCT in New York City with traffic.
Okay, so far we have KP2JRH, KP2UIJ, KP2GIK, and WB2SGT. Anyone else?
N2NOV, this is KC2PXN, Staten Island 1. Good evening to all. No traffic.
Okay, we've got KC2PXN. And the station after one, it was just noise. It was able to hold the repeater open, but we didn't get the audio. So you may want to boost the power and try it again. All right, anybody else?
S1OV, this is K2DHS, Kevin, and Marvel 4, Leno traffic.
Okay, we have K2DHS. Kevin, you're speaking very softly. did you have traffic tonight?
Negative.
Okay. No problem. I guess you're a little busy at work tonight. Okay, and after Kevin, probably that same station, still very noisy, not able to make out any words out of the noise. Anybody who is having trouble getting in or have other situations, still continue using the email, nydxa@yahoo.com, and we'll get you checked in that way. All right, anybody else checking in on the air before we start the list that we have?
KC2, JXC, late check-in. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Charlie. No traffic.
Okay, evening to Ralph, KC2, JXC. And Ralph, I saw your email Wednesday night. I was attending a marathon planning meeting. I'm glad this thing will be over in a week and a half. Thanks for picking it up and doing what you can with the net that night.
Pleasure, Tony.
Okay, let's start with the list as we have it. We'll pick up additionals as we get to the bottom of the list. So, first one of tonight, KC2JRH in Chile, Brooklyn. That's one of these.
KC2JRH. I have a comment about, have you ever picked up like Cops before and anything like the ABC or NBC news desk? And if you watch the news, have you ever noticed like there's a 5 second delay before you hear what they just spoke about on the radio? You'll hear it about 5 seconds later on the TV.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's done on purpose. In case there's anything that has to be bleeped out or corrected or whatever, they always have that 5 second delay. Yeah, that's been going on for a long time.
Kind of very interesting. Also, one question I have, you had a Mars list of frequencies on your website, and the whole list, like, looking at my scanner, but it didn't say, well, maybe I didn't see it. If it's A, if it's AM or FM, can you tell me if it's on AM or FM?
Okay. Well, what he's referring to is on the message board. If you go to n2nob.net, and one of the links up at the top is New York City message board. Under the military message area, they posted a couple of messages, one for future frequencies for Civil Air Patrol and future frequencies for Mars, the military affiliate radio system. And these are the frequencies that were set aside by NTIA and the military as of, I think it was 2 years ago, that as of January 1st, 2008, with the mandate that all federal military channels in VHF and UHF be 12 and a half kilohertz separate between them, so they're going to narrow FM. These were the channels that they allocated they were going to be changing things to. As far as both CAP and Mars are concerned, in the band between 138 and 150.8, those are all going to be narrow FM. They will use AM mode, well, Civil Air Patrol especially, on the few channels that they would have in the regular VHF aircraft band between 108 and 137. Now, the band between 138 and 144 is also used by military aircraft, whether it be jet fighters, tankers, helicopters, and they could pop up on there in either AM or FM. But as far as CAP and Mars are concerned, between 138 and 150.8, they're going to be in narrow FM. And that is, as of January 1st, 2008, is when they will officially start. You may hear some testing between now and then on some of these channels. Most of them will be quiet for a while, but as they start transitioning over, you're going to hear the chatter.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. That answers that question. Thank you, future. Thank you.
Okay, for those who get Monitoring Times magazine, the November issue that just came out has the listing of Civil Air Patrol frequencies as well. In fact, I think they got it from my site. But anyway, that's besides the point. As long as we share the information, that's what counts. I don't believe in ownership of anything like that. Okay, let's see. Next one up for traffic is Pete, WB2SGT, N2NLV.
N2NLV, WC2SGT, I'll make it fast. I'm still working on the project with the data, the HDTV decoders. You know I have my hands full. And I'll be ordering one soon.
Okay, you might want to describe the project to some of the new people here.
Roger that. Television, as we know it, National Television Standards Committee, needs to be obsolescent by 2009. The new standards come from the ATSC, Advanced Standards Television Committee for Digital Television. These stations are going to be on UHF television. When you buy a TV set that says HDTV ready, it does not have that capability. What you need is a set-top tuner decoder. These tuner decoders are available on the internet. By 2009, all televisions will have the ATSC decoder built in. So, if you want new TV right now, that's the option. And they run in price from $69 on eBay to $400 for a Sony from a dealer. And a lot of new stations are on the air. In Manhattan, a lot of new office buildings sprout strange new antennas. These are UHF data. And who knows? It might be better than cable. WB2SGT.
Well, we are starting to see activity on the secondary and tertiary data streams of these high-def TV stations that are popping up in parallel to the VHF stations that we have now. And I'm sure if Mark's around, he can jump in and explain how some of this works and what he's been seeing. But Mark's been keeping track of some of the high-def TV stuff, and he's got some activity on his website, and I've got a link on my website for the high-def TV digital station. It's about halfway down on my page, and it links back to his. So let's see if Mark is listening. KC2ENI, N20B, you around, Mark?
Well, I guess Mark is not available, but he was the one that got me interested in it and searching the clearance centers of Walmart. Walmart discontinued all HDTV set-top receivers. And that's when I started to do the search on the internet.
Yeah, there are quite a few developments that keep going around. And the whole thing is that this is going to be a mandated switchover on President's Day in 2009. So anybody who does not have one of the newer sets will be getting a set-top decoder box if you're still relying on over-the-air broadcast.
AC2ENI.
Ah, there he is. Go ahead, Mark.
I have no idea. I'm just throwing my call in. I've literally just this second switched on.
Ah, okay. Well, Pete's bringing up the topic of high-def TV and figured you might be able to give us some updates on your observations and knowledge of what's going on.
Well, pretty much quite what I just heard you said, actually. You know, there isn't much going on. There's still, well, not battles, but disagreement between the TV companies as to how they should be transmitting it. For example, CBS have chosen to send their picture using something called auto aspect. In other words, the computer at their end will automatically change the geometry of the picture based on what they're doing. So if it sees a high-def TV thing come along, lo and behold, it blows your TV into letterbox format. Or a movie come along, because of course, bear in mind that movies always were high definition, just that they were dumbed down for TV broadcast. My opinion is that CBS's implementation is the better of them all. And then you've got people like NJN, who insist that, you know what, we've got lots of bandwidth, and therefore we'll send out lots of TV channels. The upshot of which is that at night they transmit a high def channel and two standard def channels, and the two standard def ones look really rough because there's not enough room. But during the day, of course, they send out four standard def channels, and, you know, it's just very difficult to keep track of. You know, and there's an awful lot of channels appearing and then disappearing. PAX is trailing something called Qubo, Q-U-B-O, which is supposed to start in the spring of 2007. And they've got a high-def promo for it running at the moment. No, I'm sorry, not a high-def, a standard-def promo running for it at the moment. And then that's another thing. Standard-def or high-def. Just because it's digital doesn't mean to say it's any better. Note the expression that they use now called digital quality. I think I've crapped myself. KC2, Ian I, I'm probably going to confuse everybody.
I don't think any more confusion, Mark, than what's happening between the TV stations, as you say. Does anybody have any questions or comments about the upcoming digital conversion of your TV signal?
Yeah,
hi, Justin. On the broadcast, so using your rabbit ear as a rooftop antenna, your channels 2 through 13 are being sent up to UHF. So they're going to vacate for television broadcast 2 through 13 in this area. Okay, who knows? They're probably going to put in a lot of land mobile radio stuff like they do in the UK, or could use it for Wi-Fi. Who knows? But this is all affecting broadcast. So if you're receiving television broadcast off the air, this is going to be affecting that. And if you're sitting at home with your rooftop antenna or your rabbit ears, to be able to continue receiving television over-the-air broadcast, you would need either a newer television set that has that tuner built into the set, or get a set-top converter that would then, it would tune those channels in, change it from digital to analog, and then send it down channel 3 on a cable to the back of your TV set like your cable box and VCR does now. Okay, now, if you are getting your television broadcast via satellite dish or cable, you will continue doing that. Now, whether that provider, satellite or cable, makes available high-def channels, which they are doing now, it's going to be dependent upon whether you do have a high-def TV set to receive it and pay them extra money to receive those channels, if they're going to charge extra money, which I'm sure they do right now. But if you're going to stay with the current television box you have now, if you're receiving it through a satellite or cable, that's not going to change. You don't have to worry about that. It's only if it's off-the-air broadcast.
WB2HDT.
Good.
From my knowledge, the first step will be the elimination of I don't know how 7 through 13 are going to be affected.
Okay, well, if you look at the page of my website for New York City Area Digital TV, about halfway down the page, you'll see a chart in alphabetical order by call sign of the station. And as you said, channel 7. So WABC, the regular channel is channel 7, the digital TV channel is 45. So they're already running them in parallel right now. So when it comes time to shut off the VHF, that's what they're going to do. They're just going to shut it off, because they're already running on channel 45 in digital mode.
They're all digital format. So this morning edition of AM New York had an article about television receivers and the price going down. Automotive headlight bulbs, the glass high vacuum CRT kinescopes are on their way out.
Pete, your signal is sliding in and out of the repeater. We're getting parts of it.
I'm using an HD right now. I'll make it quick, Dad. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're okay now.
Okay. Channel 2 through 6 are the first to be eliminated. 7 and 13, I don't know. Years ago, many stations had UHF reflections. They weren't required to have it. When HDTV came into place, they are all required to have it. The signals that they provided were not very strong. If you scan UHF TV today with a conventional NTSC receiver, you will not find them.
Can we stop calling it high def? I know it's semantics, but it isn't high def. It's just digital. Some stations have high def, some do not. Some have it when they choose, some do not. I think we should get away from this idea that it's high definition. It could be. For the most part, it is not. Mainly because there's not an awful lot of high-def programming out there. But also, you know, it's digital. It's not planned to be high-def. It's just digital. It could be high-def, but it's really digital. I know it sounds, you know, like I'm going off on one here, but really, it's we've got to get away from this idea that digital is high-def. You know, it's the same with the radio stuff. That, you know, they're pitching it as high-definition radio. My God, it's awful. It's in many cases, it's worse than the analog stuff. So I think we need to get away from this idea that because it's digital, it's high-definition.
You're right. I agree with you completely. But this is what they tell the consumer. They call it HDTV. Yes, there are many modes for DAT transmission. But, you know, like I had said before, when you buy one of these new TV sets, it says HDTV ready. When you buy the set, you plug it in, you find out it doesn't work. So, I agree with you.
What are you saying doesn't work?
Because the set comes with an NTSC television tuner. Dell is advertising a new laptop with an optional television tuner. You know what? It's NTSC. So, it's HDTV. NTSC is not HDTV. So when you go out and buy one of these new wonderful sets for $800, it's not going to pick it up.
Well, and that's why you need to be careful about that. I was in Walmart. Came up. No, Walmart the other day, KC2E and I. I was in Walmart the other day, just tire kicking. And they sell a range of budget-priced LCD-type TVs, and they all have digital tuners. And that's the thing you've got to look out for. They're $800-ish. But that's the thing. You have to be careful that you're buying one that has a digital tuner in it. Most of the, all of the HDTV ready ones have an HDMI or DVI socket, which will accept a higher definition picture. But yeah, you just got to be careful to make sure that you're buying one with a digital tuner in it. And certainly the range that they sell at Walmart for approximately $800, all the ones I was looking at, they all had one. In fact, we were watching NJN over the air in the store in high def. So, and it was, you know, it was just a regular coax antenna plugged into the back of all the sets. They had this podium, and they were deliberately showing you the back of the set so you could see all of the inputs. And the only input to it was RF. And yeah, we could flick between all the different NJN TV channels.
On your advice, I hit 3 Walmart stores going through their clearance centers, and the only Walmart that had one receiver was Ledgewood, and I'm like, I think I could do better. It was $120.
I'm not talking about receivers now, I'm talking about actual TV sets now. I mean, I went to the one at... what do they call it now? The Rockaway Mall? No. I'm sorry. We know it locally as the Murder Mall. So what's that one? That's Morris County Mall. You know the one on Ridgedale Avenue. And yeah, for their $800 set, they have one with digital tuners in them. Anyway, KC2E and I.
KC2E and I, WB2SG. Was this a dual mode television?
In that it had two tuners in it, yes it was.
There you go. That's why it's $800.
No, it's $800 because it's an LCD TV with blah blah.
The industry is not going to be turning out dual mode TV sets. They're selling the biggest TVs, the least amount of money with NTSC, and people are buying them. And that's what the article in the paper this morning was about. Why?
Well, bear in mind that most of us don't get our antenna, our TV off the antenna. We get it from satellite or cable. Then there's no problem with that. The TV company, they can, but they don't want to feed through their signal direct. A friend of mine around the corner, you know, WS5D has a set, spent $50,000 for it, and it's got a digital cable receiver in it. And the cable company were able to just shove their coat straight in the back of the set and acquire the tuner in the way they would do normally if you had a set-top box of this. But, you know, most of the case they're going to provide you with a set-top box, or you're going to have a TiVo, or you're going to have and whatever it is, it's going to output the high-def signal on a different cable. So, you know,
your TV becomes a function of the tuner box as opposed to an independent device, which most people know anyway. Most people's TV set is slave to the cable box or the satellite box. So there's very few of us actually just terminate the cable TV directly in the back of the TV set and therefore are able to tune away from channel 3. So but it works in that way. I don't think that's a problem in the grand scheme of things.
Roger that. The industry does not want to provide broadcast anymore. They'd rather be on the internet and cable and satellite. All right, let me take a standby, WB2SGP.
Okay, this is N21LB with the shortwave and scanner listeners net. Time now is 9:34 p.m. We'll stand by for additional check-in before we continue along. If you're not able to get into the repeater, please use the email. The email address is nydxa@yahoo.com.
Charlie, put me at the end of the list. I have a little traffic. Back to you.
Okay, got N1LZ from Connecticut. Good evening, Bob. And JXC, you've got some traffic, all right. Anybody else? Okay, there's somebody keying up that does not have the shift on. To get into the repeater, you have to make sure the plus is showing. You need plus 600 kilohertz to get into the machine. Okay, Joss. Anybody else? Alright, I've got a couple of things to throw in there. Let's see. Earlier we were talking about some of the newer Civil Air Patrol frequencies that were listed to be used as of January 2008. Some of you may remember from older Civil Air Patrol frequency lists that they were summed down in the 26 megahertz range. And it turns out in a recent FCC ruling, based upon a request by Aeronautical Radio, ARINC, that those 26 megahertz frequencies be reserved for possible HF data link use. Sort of like ACARS, but on the HF band. So the three channels they're talking about in this FCC ruling is 26.618.5, 26.620, and 26.621.5. So I'll file that for possible future use for data. Speaking of data, Flight Information Services in data format as opposed to voice, certain frequencies have been set aside in an expanded part of the aeronautical band on VHF between 136 and 137. Four frequencies set aside for data for Flight Information Service, or otherwise known as FISB. 136.425, 136.450, 136.475 are set aside for the FAA to use. And 136.500 is set aside for aeronautical radio, ARINC, to use. Now, mixed into all this is the realization that in Europe, they are looking to change over the VHF aeronautical band to have channel spacing of 8.33 kilohertz, as opposed to the 25 kilohertz spacing that we have here. And the realization that we may need to go in that direction. So that's still on the table for study, and you may see some changes down the road. But at the moment, most of our scanners do not do 8.33 kHz. There are a couple that do. So you want to keep that in mind for future development. Okay, let's see. Ralph, take your 2JXC. Let's pass it over you for your traffic. And it's 1LB.
KC2JXC. Ralph here in the Bronx. Good evening, Charlie. Good evening to everyone in the net. Mark, Bob out of Milford, Connecticut, and Pete, who I heard in there. Just one or two things. Products. Radio Shack has the interface cable, which is the item number 2289, which is a basic interface cable, which you could connect your PC to your scanner. Most Radio Shack scanners and a couple of units, and they have that now. This cable originally, you could even still find it online for like $30. I remember buying one with shipping and all for $30. They're bringing these down now. If you can find them, I found a few around the city for like $4.98. So that's a good little buy. If you can see some, pick them up, because, you know, it's still serial, not USB, because now they have a USB interface cables, but it still does the job if you have a serial port on your PC. One other thing. And I also picked up, if anybody doesn't know, there's a small little handheld scanner, a Pro 83. I'm sure you guys are familiar with it. Came out about 2 years ago this time, 2004, of October. And one of the features is the Signal Stalker. And that is, they've priced it down now to like, I think it's $59.99. I'm not sure. I think it's $59 or $69. And that's a pretty good steal for that little radio. You got a couple extra dollars, you could pick that up too. One warning, in the urban area, that Signal Stalker will just go crazy. But if you're out traveling, you go out to the suburbs, out in the country, it's a good feature because you won't get bombarded with signals and transmissions. And that's about it. That's what I got, Charlie. Back to you.
Well, Ralph, even some locations in the suburbs can go crazy with the Signal Stalker getting overloaded because of paging signals and high-powered transmitters clustered in different areas. But it is a fancy and handy feature to have. It's just like we're getting used to. You know, it's like with frequency counters. You can sit there and you swear you're picking up all sorts of things when it's just phantom signals and Jamad and whatnot. So it takes a little while to practice with that. Okay, and yeah, Radio Shack is running some really interesting sales, and they're trying to get rid of some things. And I was in a Radio Shack store a couple of weeks ago, and I saw this miniature FM radio, maybe about the size of, a book of matches, and it has like a D-ring clip on it, so you can just clip it to your knapsack or your belt loop or something and plug in your ear set. It was $1.97, so they're really dumping this stuff out. When I asked for information on something, they said, oh, you have to go to the other store. What they do is they're moving product to various stores in different areas and calling them classic Radio Shacks. Well, you know my opinion on that over the years. It looks like most of the Radio Shack stores are becoming mini Best Buys, and they're pushing parts out to classic Radio Shack stores, which I think is, they're looking to set them up to fail, because people can have a hard time knowing where to go for the parts. They won't buy them, and they'll use that as justification, saying, see, this stuff doesn't sell, close the store. I don't know. Mark, what have you been finding in the Radio Shack stores up in your area? I know you've come across some interesting deals over the past 6 months.
Hey, nothing better to do. I'll stop in at whatever Radio Shack I happen to drive by. One of my local stores at Denville closed, and what I found there, and some of the closing stores, they're not all shut yet, are having products placed in them. Remember the old Tech America that Radio Shack used to own? Well, it seems that there's a whole bunch of stuff of that crap still hanging around. And they're sending it to the closing stores, so, one-of-a-kind items and things. I found, for example, one of those car battery starter things, you know, with a little black box with a battery in it and a couple of clamps for the to jump the car with and stuff. I got one of those for $10, and the guy had a mountain of them. Well, when I went back to get another one, like literally 3 days later, they were gone. So, and I found all sorts of things. I had, from all of the local radio stores, Radio Shack stores, I had all of their antenna masts, the 40-foot and in some cases the 20-something-foot ones, for free. As in, yes, they gave them to me. So I went shopping there. You just got to work is the point. You know, you got to get in there and mooch about and see what they've got. Most of the time, as I'm sure you've all discovered, the kid behind the counter doesn't have a clue what it is, and therefore they don't sell it. Despite the fact that it's on their Boulder Day, you know, on the counter, on the shelf behind the counter there. You know, you really need to go in there and tell them what they have, particularly if you can find out they've got something online and it says it's in stock, and guaranteed the kid will deny they have it just because he doesn't know what the hell it is. So, you know, it's not a cell phone, it's not satellite TV, therefore he's not interested. But one of the things I am finding, the Radio Shack at Rockaway Mall and the Radio Shack at the Short Hills Mall are no longer carrying, remember how they took all the resistors and capacitors and stuff like that and put them in those drawers, which to my mind actually made things a lot easier to find. It's gone. No longer, they're not doing them anymore. The drawers are still there in the Rockaway store, but they're full of cell phone power adapter kits. You know, they sell that kit where you get the thing, you plug in the cigarette lighter, and then you choose the relevant tip to go on the end of your phone. You know, they filled them full of that. Yeah, plugs, connectors, resistors, camming, you know, all that kind of stuff has gone from both of those stores in my two local large malls. So, you know, the long and short of it is you got to look around and just ask the manager. Sometimes they've got stuff they just want to get rid of. You know, they'll give it to you to take away. KC2ENI.
KC2JXC. You're right, Mark. I remember walking out of a Radio Shack with two boxes of about 100 foot of rotor cable for like $3.98 each, you know. And I don't know. Radio Shack is the Radio Shack we all knew and loved as kids and grew up with and still not so long ago was in existence. I think it's dying a slow death, Radio Shack. The one we knew, there's a whole new morphing that's going on with this Radio Shack that we see now, but I guess it's just a sign of the time. Back to net control.
Yeah, it's a very long, slow death. We've seen different indications of that over the past, 10, 20 years now. But it seems like this is the end of it. I mean, there's a Radio Shack store near me, and there's a Pathmark Supercenter on Forest Avenue here on Staten Island. And to get into the Pathmark, you have to walk past the Radio Shack and the Subway sandwich shop and the bank and, you know, a few little shops like that. So I'm always looking into the Radio Shack as I'm coming into the store, and they're lucky if they have one customer in there. So you know the end is near.
Another interesting point that Mark made was the personnel they have now. You know, most of these kids, they were born way after, CB and scanners, and they don't know. And he's right. You know, I've had to educate some of the staff sometimes. In fact, this is interesting. This isn't even radio related. I went in the other day into one of the Radio Shacks. I was looking for a firewire, 6-pin on both ends, typical, normal firewire. Nobody knew what a firewire was and that it even existed on the back of a computer. Back to you, Charlie.
Well, we said the same thing about Radio Shack employees in the early 90s, especially when they were selling the HTX 202. But having been a manager of Radio Shack in the mid-80s, early mid-80s, for 6 months, I can say the same thing about the employees that I worked with. They knew nothing about electronics. In fact, out of the entire district that covered Staten Island, Brooklyn, and the eastern part of Queens, there were only two of us that knew anything about electronics. And when I left there, that other guy took over the store I had, and he didn't last too long either, because he was just fed up with the whole thing.
You know, the staff at the shack that you went to, you don't find FireWire anymore. It was a very short-lived, I mean, you still get all the pieces and stuff, but it was a very short-lived technology. I guess because USB 2.0 came out with its 480 megabits, you know, it's only marginally faster than FireWire, but it's, you know, it's the same technology, if you follow me. It's, you know, it's downwards compatible with all the other USB things you've got, so, yeah, it was very short-lived. Yeah, you can still buy the cables, and you can still buy cards to add FireWire to your thing, but try to buy a FireWire hard drive today. You know, it was a very short-lived thing, so, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it didn't know.
Absolutely. The thing too is that I took them over to one of they have this whole new computer thing that you put together. It's like a whole kit. I forget what it's called. It's it has this real slick design, you know, to attract the eye, and you build this thing. You have to add on to this computer. So anyway, there was one up on the wall there, on the shelf, and I told them, look, back here, you see this port? This is a FireWire. It's just another way to transfer information, you know. And then they go, oh, I didn't know that's what that was. So I said, okay. But, you know, that is just one example. But, Charlie, me and you got something in common. In the early 80s, I worked for Radio Shack, too. I wasn't managing or anything. I was in there in the staff of the Ridgewood Radio Shack up on Myrtle Avenue. Did you call that one?
I remember that store from 1977, December 77, when I actually bought a tube for my Zenith Transoceanic L600. And that was the only time I was ever in that store.
Yeah, well, we had a pretty, the manager was a pretty good guy named George, and I remember him. He was a pretty decent guy, and then we had a hotshot kid who was a hotshot sales guy. He knew how to sell stereos and stuff like that. And me, I knew mostly all the radio parts, all that other stuff, and, you know, I would sell out all the radios and all the parts and all the antenna stuff. I was, like, really great with antennas. In fact, I used to get myself a little side work when people would come in and want to put up a TV antenna. I said, look, I'll be, you know, if you want, I could put this all up on your roof, you know, and I would get, make me a couple of dollars. I was pretty newly married at the time with one kid at the time, and that money came in handy, and I liked doing that. But, yeah, I would push out all the radio stuff. This other guy would push out a lot of the stereos, and then we had these other kids that were just part-timers that were just hanging out, just making a couple of dollars after school. Back to you.
Yeah, that's very typical, yes. Fond memories. Anywho. let's see. Let me also acknowledge coming in on the email account, KC2OUF, listening on his, get this guys, AOR1000. I remember that radio. He still has it. And it's in decent shape too. Also checking in on email, he's got a problem getting in on the air, is New Ham, who has been listening to this net for many years, and has been part of the scanner community for many years, KC2QHW, Steve. And Steve has a question. He's asking about the accessorized bands. And he thinks that they're on 800 meg frequencies, like 859.165.175. They also use digital handheld transceivers thinking that's after 25. Does anybody know the frequencies? Well, the reality of accessoride is that it's a program that the City of New York subcontract out to local taxi cab and transportation companies. So whatever frequencies that cab company is using, that's where you're going to find them. Somewhere on the door or in the paperwork that's inside the cab of the accessorized van will be an indication of the name of the company that that particular vehicle belongs to. And then you're going to have to go to the FCC database and cross-reference that company. Sometimes it's easy to find, sometimes it's not. For example, on the South Shore of Staten Island, there's a company called Community Car Service, which is actually licensed in the FCC database as RJR Transportation. So it took a while to figure that out back in the 80s, but you may run into that same problem with other companies. It depends on how their FCC license is filed. It can be filed under the owner's name, and not necessarily the company name. If anybody's got any clues to various channels for these various accessorized vans in their area, and maybe we can compile a list and make that available. Okay, looks like we've come down to the last person with traffic tonight, and that's Justin, KC2GIK, N21LV. Justin, most of that was sliding in and out of the repeater, and as I'm listening to it go back and forth, I don't think it's a problem with your station. I think it's a matter of the wind. It's sort of the same thing that we had when Pete was giving his traffic earlier, and we were losing him a lot of time. Maybe there's something going on with the antenna at the repeater site, or maybe something in the path. Both of you guys tend to be north of the repeater. So unfortunately, it was hard to make out most of that because it was sliding into the noise and disappearing out of the repeater completely. it's time to start hitting the malls again for the holiday shopping season. Yeah, Thanksgiving's coming up too. So if you notice any changes in frequencies, any additions, subtractions, adds, changes, moves, using an old telephone company phrase, let us know, and we'll compile the new list for this year and pass it back out, as well as update the frequency list on Justin's side for New Jersey and on my side for New York, so that we all have a ready reference for when our significant others decide to take us shopping with them and give us something to listen to. Upcoming things as well, we have the New York City Marathon coming up on November 5th, which always provides a lot of good background, behind-the-scenes type of listening for all the different agencies involved. And, of course, the elections are coming up on Tuesday the 7th, so there's going to be different things surrounding that as well, as your favorite candidate crisscrosses the region to give their speeches in the final 2 weeks before the election. So, with that, we can only ask that you submit your information to our email address, nydxa@yahoo.com. With that, we'll catch everybody next Wednesday. 73 to all, and 20 to 8.